I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining me on the WBEN Trocare College Liveline, Republican strategist Carl Calabrese. Looking at the election, which is getting closer and closer, less than 2 weeks to go. Carl, you watch polling every day, I know, pretty closely, and the trends. What are the polls indicating this morning, and what are the trends?
Susan, I do follow them every day, and frankly, I've been following this race since January. In January, I started summarizing the real clear average of polls in the seven key states. And I would do it every month at the end of the month. I actually have a grid to follow. And then in October, I started doing it every week. And so I just did it yesterday, as a matter of fact. And the trends are certainly towards Donald Trump. For the first time last week, Donald Trump went ahead of Harris in all seven key states. That was a first since the coup was engaged and Harris replaced Biden. It's first time. Now, trends are important in politics. Trends are just as important as the actual numbers. So the trend is moving to Donald Trump. However, his leads are very, very slim. In every single state, it's within the margin of error. So we'll see what happens over the next 10, 11 days. You know, if there's going to be a real strong movement towards Trump to break out of this very thin margin he's got, it'll happen in the next 10 days. That's when major changes and major trends usually occur in a political campaign.
Why do you think we're seeing this surge right now for Trump?
Well, his popularity is pretty high. It's up there 48%. That's almost like an all-time high for Donald Trump. Her popularity peaked after she got the nomination at the convention, and since then it's been going down. And I think as more people see her and listen to her, they realize that there frankly isn't a lot there in terms of knowledge of issues and positions on issues. I think there's some concern about what she really believes. I mean, this is a woman who, when she was in the Senate, was rated as the most liberal senator in the body. I mean, even more so than Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. She had all those positions. Now she's trying to move back to the center. People have, I think, a problem with that because she has said, I've changed my positions, but my values have not changed. I take that as code to her base saying what Bernie Sanders said out loud. I have to say what I have to say now to win, but when I get elected, don't worry, my values haven't changed. So I think that's bothering people. I also think that Trump's administration, his 4 years in office, people are remembering as pretty good, especially when it comes to the economy. And that's where he enjoys double-digit leads over her in the way people see his ability to handle the economy, immigration, and crime. So we do know that as Election Day approaches, people who are undecided tend to break towards the candidate that they see handling those important issues more to their liking. And there's no question the big issues are the immigration, the border, inflation, the economy, and crime. And he just enjoys big, big leads there. So that's what I'm going to be watching over the next 10 or 11 days.
What do you make of the claims, the fascist claims by John Kelly, coming out 13 days before the election?
This is par for the course. I mean, we talk about, October surprises. I think it would be better to term maybe this year October smears. This is the second smear in a week. The first one had to do with the death of a soldier on a base, a Mexican-American soldier who was murdered by another soldier. And that produced all kinds of ramifications in the army. People were fired, lost their jobs. Trump actually met with the family and said, if whatever the army doesn't cover in burial expenses, I will cover. So now the smear comes out that he supposedly said, how much is this funeral going to cost? And somebody said $60,000. And Trump allegedly said, you mean to tell me it costs $60,000 to bury a blank Mexican. Now, nobody heard that. These are all anonymous sources. Now comes Kelly, years after he was chief of staff, making these claims. Again, you know, you have to wonder, you know, why didn't he say anything when it happened? David Bellavia did a great piece on this the other day, that he, as a military man, he has the obligation that if he hears something that outrageous and that revolting, he has the obligation to either call it out at the time or resign, because you can't work for somebody like that. He did neither. Now, on the eve of him publishing a book, he comes out with these things. So, I mean, I would think that, you know, we need to expect this over the next couple of weeks. That's all she's got. I mean, she does not talk about her issues. Everything is Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump. So I think we're going to hear more of these kinds of smears. They're always, almost always done with anonymous sources. And, you know, people have kind of gotten used to it, I think, because Donald Trump was hit with this from day one, that he was an agent of Putin and the Russia hoax. So we'll see what else they throw out. There could be other surprises, but I think we're more likely to see smears as opposed to surprises.
All right. Here in New York State, Carl, voters are being asked to decide Proposition 1 on the ballot. Very vague and confusing language. What do you think is behind this effort?
This is a Trojan horse. You know, I give the left and Democrats credit, because they're very good at coming up with words and phrases that sound wonderful but really do a great job at disguising what they really want to do in terms of their agenda. The Equal Rights Amendment. How could you be against the Equal Rights Amendment these days? But really what it does, Susan, is it extends the definition of what a protected class is to gender issues. You know, on its face, you say, okay, fine, where is that going to lead? Well, I'll tell you where it's going to lead. There will be disputes if this is passed. And those disputes will be about men in women's sports, men in women's locker rooms, men in women's bathrooms, minors who want to change their gender and want to do it without parental consent. And those conflicts will end up in court. And the Democrats and the left in the state are banking on the fact that the court system in this state is just as progressive left as the legislature. And so once you get your foot in the door with extending the definition of protected class, you now go to court and you have, for the most part, very friendly judges from an ideological standpoint. And so it's kind of a 1-2 punch, this being the first one. I looked at the Siena poll on this. It's got 69% support in the state. And more importantly, if you look across the crosstabs, all the demographic groups by age, sex, income, religion, ethnicity, race, it enjoys majority support across the board in every single demographic group in this state. Even Roman Catholics, 51% of Roman Catholics support this. So they're very clever at dressing up what their real agenda is. You know, I often tell people there's a proverb in the Jewish Talmud that says, "Examine the bottle, examine the contents, not the bottle." This is a very attractive bottle with some very, in my opinion, very toxic contents. Mm.
Do you think it'll pass in Erie County?
Yeah, if these numbers, you know, are hold true. I mean, as I say, not only does it enjoy support amongst all the demographic groups, it enjoys support with all of the regional groups, New York City, the suburbs of New York City, and upstate. Now, the poll doesn't give us Erie County. It just gives us this kind of generic term of upstate. That can be, you know, a lot of counties. But it certainly enjoys pretty strong support in upstate as well as it does in other parts of the state. So right now, it looks like it's going to pass. I do know that there's growing opposition to it. I know pastors and priests are talking about it from the pulpit. I know groups are out there. I heard a woman on your show the other day who's working against this. The question is, you know, will it be enough? Will it be able to overcome, you know, all of the momentum that this thing has? But you know, it's got support, and you know, I think in upstate New York, it's got over. I'm looking at the poll right now. In the suburbs of New York, it's got 69% support. In upstate, it's got 57% support. So unless things change right now, it probably will pass in Erie County, but we'll have to see how this plays out as all of these groups bring to people's attention what this really is and what it's going to lead to. It's going to lead to a lot of court battles, which I believe the progressive left will win most of them in the state.
Republican strategist Carl Calabrese.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.